produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to my father's teachings. I'm so excited about this word that we're going to get into today. But before we get into the word, let's go ahead and go before the Father and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I yield myself to your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your word of truth that will be administered today. And Father, I lift up every hearer of your word. And Father, I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened so that they can see the revealed will of the Father captured by the words that you allow me to speak and that you unction me to communicate in this lesson. You be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have been talking about over the past few weeks, identity. Our foundation scripture is found in Psalm 8, number 4, and I'm going to read that just to kind of jumpstart today's session. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And so David is pondering, just really thinking about God's creation and man's role in the universe with God having created all these amazing things. And he gets to pondering man. And so what this lesson is about is really us identifying what is man. And when I say what is man, I'm not talking about what man appears to be or how man has been behaving, because so much of man's behavior has been founded in his own ignorance of who he is. And so what this lesson is designed to do is to expose us to the word of God so that we can have a clear understanding as to what God intended for man to be. And that in turn, we began to see ourselves from God's divine perspective so that we would no longer define ourselves in ignorance. Because ultimately, what happens is we tend to look at people's behaviors and we judge ourselves. We judge other people by behaviors when those behaviors were born from ignorance. And so the answer, the resolution to ignorance is revelation. And more particular, we're talking about revelation of the word of God spoken by God's mouth in the Bible. And so again, so David is asking about this, what is man? So we're going to talk about that. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 to help us understand what man is. Now, God had already been creating up to this point. And here we see in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So what these verses are telling us is that God decided that he would make man in his image after his likeness. And then 27, it says, so that's what he did, basically. That's why I say, so God created man in his own image. So there was a decision that the Father had in his mind that he would create man in his image and after his likeness, and he did it. Now, to understand what we're looking at, we need to define some terms. And one term that we want to define is image. So in this lesson, we're going to focus on image. We'll talk about likeness later, but we're going to focus, set our sights primarily on this word image to make sure we have a full or a good image or a good idea of what the word image means relative to how, relative to God making man after his image and after his likeness. Now, the word image means representative figure. Well, what does that mean? A representative is someone who's standing or acting for another, especially through delegated authority. So it's someone who's acting in behalf of someone else. That's what a representative is. So when God said that he's making man in his image, what he was saying is that I'm going to create this thing that I'm going to call man, and man will operate in my stead. That's very important for us to understand, because what this signifies is a few things. One, it signifies that God did not create the earth for himself to directly rule. That's very important for us to understand, and I'm going to explain why in a moment. So God did not create the earth for himself to directly rule. God wanted to have the earth ruled by something that he created rather than himself. God wanted someone that would represent him, that would operate in his stead. So when God created man, what God was saying is that I'm going to create a being who will operate in the earth like me, who will represent me, as opposed to me ruling the earth. I'm going to create someone who will rule in my stead. Well, why is this fact important? Why is it important for us to understand this? If you don't understand this, you may be expecting God to do something that it is the responsibility of the representative to do. And I'm telling you, I believe that oftentimes the reason we fail in prayer is because we do not understand purpose. Because we're thinking that God is supposed to make decisions and things like that in our behalf, as opposed to us actually being a representative and operating in authority, using the authority given to us by God to make things happen. So there are some things, and we're going to drill into this more. You have to understand there are some things that you should be praying for, but then there are some things that you shouldn't be praying for. You should be using your authority to make happen. And if you don't know the difference, you'll be going to God, asking God for things that you should be using your power, your authority in that situation to cause things to be as they should. Let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a police officer. Now, a police officer is delegated authority. He is a representative of the government. He is a representative of the city who hired him. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. And as a consequence, the police officers in Memphis, they represent Memphis, the Memphis government. So the mayor doesn't go out and apprehend people. You follow me? Even though the mayor is over the city, the mayor is not going out making arrests. Why? Because that's the job of the representative. Imagine a police officer is out and he walks upon a crime in progress. And then he calls City Hall, what have you, and he wants to talk to the mayor. And he talks to this person and this person and this person, what have you. And he finally is able to get through to the mayor to tell the mayor that there is a crime in progress and I need you to do something about it. I know what you're thinking. That's a dumb officer. But keep in mind, before you call him dumb, how many things have you seen going on in your world, knowing that God has given you authority to address them? And instead of you addressing them, you call City Hall, so to speak. See, it is the job of the representative in that scenario with the police officer. It is the police officer's responsibility to address that crime that he's witnessing. Why? Because he has everything that he needs in order to secure that arrest. He's got his badge that represents the city that sent him, that he's operating under legitimate authority as a police officer. He's got handcuffs so that he could take the person into custody, put their hands behind their back and so forth. And he's also got a gun in case there is resistance. And he also has a walkie-talkie whereby he can call other officers to come to the scene if he needs some help. So the officer has everything that he needs in order to represent the city that he is assigned to protect. So here is God. God made man after his image, and God said, I'm delegating my authority to you. I'm handing you the ability to rule. I'm handing you the authority to operate in the earth and to do things that I would do. Because man is to represent me, just as that officer is assigned to represent the city. And I understand what has happened is we've been functioning for so long out of a place of ignorance. When I say ignorance, that's not something to don't understand. That's some kind. Don't think of that as some kind of attack or speaking badly. I'm simply saying that we don't really have a revelation of who we are, because we have been. And I can say that from the standpoint of understanding that we are allowing things to happen in this world that God has given us authority over. See, going back to this police officer, it is important that that police officer understands the authority that he holds. Because it doesn't matter if he's got a badge. It doesn't matter if he has a gun. It doesn't matter if he's got a flashlight for operating in dark places. It doesn't matter if he's got handcuffs. It doesn't matter if he has a uniform or a radio. If he doesn't understand that he has the authority and right to apprehend people and to intervene when there's a crime being committed. His own ignorance will keep him from using the tools that his city gave him in order to effect an arrest. When a man doesn't understand that God has sent him into the earth to represent him, to operate in supreme authority in the earth, it doesn't matter what God has given him if his own ignorance prohibits him from using them. And so that's why what this lesson is about is about us coming into a place of understanding so that we would not be defeated by our own ignorance. See, the Bible says that my people, even God's people, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, it's not enough. See, some people think that it's enough to just get saved and go to church. No, it's important to learn. Because Satan can easily defeat the ignorant. He can easily defeat the ignorant. And I am tired of seeing the body of Christ whipped because of our own ignorance. In particular, because of our own ignorance of the position that we have and the role that God has created us to play in the earth. We are not supposed to represent him. We are to represent him. When I say the difference between supposed and are, here's what I'm getting at. I'm using are from the standpoint of it's an absolute fact that we have been created for the purpose of representing God. That is deeper than just that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we were mandated for. That's what we were created for. So if we're not dominating the earth, if we're not representing God in the earth, then we are not fulfilling purpose. It is not the will of God for you to be dominated by anything. It is the will of God for you to walk in the authority, the power, the privilege that God created you to walk in. Because you're his representative. And so what we have to do is allow the word to tweak our thinking where we wake up and say, wait a minute, I represent God in the earth. God sent me into the earth to rule, to dominate, to exercise authority. That's why Jesus said, going back to the police officer analogy, that's why Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What is he saying? That heaven is backing your authority, just like when the officer goes out and they make an apprehension. The city is backing that police officer's arrest. And see, that's what we have to get a hold of, that when I operate in my role as a representative of heaven, whatever I bind is bound. Why? Because heaven is backing me because I represent heaven. Let me show you something a little bit closer to home. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 31 through 40 to help us see this a little bit clearer, that in fact, we represent God. We represent him. I'm going to read it and then go back and pick out some nuggets from it. And this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about when he's talking about his return at a later date, of course. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What is Jesus getting at? He's getting at the fact, first of all, let's understand what he's saying. So Jesus is talking about the kinds of conversations that are going to take place, where he's going to call these people blessed, and he's going to tell them, come because you are blessed, and go ahead and accept and inherit this kingdom that the Father has prepared for you. And he's saying, for example, I'm not going to go through all of these, but he said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. And so they're going to ask, well, when did we see you hungry and gave you something to eat? And so Jesus's answer is, when you did it for someone else, when you did it for another human, you did it unto me. Why? Because God understands what he created. And what I mean by that is, God knows that he created man as the representative of him. Now, this is what we're getting at. And I hope you really understand this. Because if you get this, it will help you get a better understanding and help you to gain more control over how you deal with people. God looks at how you deal with others as representing how you deal with him. In particular, and especially, how you deal with somebody who is a covenant friend of God, a believer, someone who's born of God. When you misrepresent someone who is connected to God, God doesn't see it as something separate from himself. He says, you did it to me. So in this good sense, when you fed this person who was hungry, the way Jesus took that was that you fed him. Why? Because that hungry man represents Jesus. Well, what about this thirsty guy? And you gave him something to drink. The way God sees that man who's thirsty represents God. So when you gave that thirsty man something to drink, you gave Jesus, you gave God something to drink. He goes on and look at verse 36 where he says, naked and you clothed me. This person didn't have any clothes to put on. And you saw that and you met this person's carnal needs. So the way God takes that is that you did that for him. Why? Because that naked guy represented him. He says, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And see, that's hard for some people to hear. But he said that guy or that woman who was in prison, who you visited, they represent me. And so when you were kind enough to visit that person who's in prison, I accepted that as kindness to me, because that person who's incarcerated represents me. I hope you're really hearing this, that if we would start seeing ourselves as representatives of God, understanding that I have a responsibility to show love. Why? Because God is love. So if I'm going to represent God in the earth, then my behavior ought to show the same thing that God emanates. That's on one side of it. But then also we need to see others as, wait a minute, that's a representative of God. So I'm going to make sure I talk respectfully to this person. And I'm also going to talk respectfully about this person. I'm not going to be lying on this person, because if I'm lying on this person and this person is representing God, then that means I am lying on God. Why? Because God is not making these distinctions that we do. We tend to look at people through a sense of separateness. And God doesn't see the separation. He sees the unity. And he's looking at things from that perspective, that whatever you do to others is truly how it expresses truly how you feel about God. So when you mistreat somebody, because he does go on and talk about this later, about those who were on the other side, who were on the left, who were condemned and who didn't do these things. And it was, they didn't understand that how you treat others is truly a reflection of your perspective and how you're treating God, because man was created by God to represent him, and you cannot get around it. We're going to stop right there and we'll pick back up next time. God bless you, and I will see you next time. I love you. Goodbye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.